Part 4, Wednesday, May 28, 1975. Scene 1, Sara Vaskovic, 9 a.m. I must have fallen asleep about 11. I woke up at nearly 9. I was asleep 10 hours, which is 4 hours more than I can usually manage. I didn't move for a while, just stared at the ceiling, wondering what the hell everything was all about. Then I turned my head, because there was a distinct sense of someone being there, and it was Sara Vaskovic in a chair, looking at me with her dark eyes, big and anxious. I started up, and then sank back with a groan, because my head stabbed at me. It jogged what memory I had. Sara said, "Do you know who I am?" I had both my hands on my head and said pettishly, "Of course I know who you are. You're Sara Vaskovic, and if you wait a minute, I'll sort everything out. We had dinner last night, right?" "Yes, and afterward?" "There was a fight in the park, right? What happened afterward? Did you bring me home?"
"Yes."
"And you stayed?" Pardon me, but I've got to go to the bathroom. Will you help me up?" She did, and then she held on to me while I made it there. I said, "All right, you can stay here. What do you want to do? Hold it for me? Besides, that's not all that's got to be done." She said,
"What if you fall?
Then you'll hear a bump. Please get out." She did, but I'm sure she stayed near the door. Talk about inhibiting factors. Try relaxing on the throne with some strange girl, some nearly strange girl anyway, placing her ear to the crack of the door. There's something to kill romance. I felt much better afterward, and that's what I told her when I came out, and she said, "How do you feel?" I said, "I feel all right. Just this sore spot on my head, but everything else is perfectly normal. Lots of it is coming back, but I don't remember much of the detail about coming home."
"Nothing to remember, Darius. I just got you to bed."
"And you sat up all night to watch over me?" I thought I had said it sardonically, but she said,
"If you can't have me as a villain, you want me as an angel of mercy."
I didn't at that point remember her remark the night before about me wanting her to be a villain so she'd be interesting, so I didn't quite get it then. I did later.
"Actually," she went on, "I'm just a human being. It might have been in my head to watch over you like a mother, but I didn't. I couldn't. I fell asleep and spent most of the night asleep. I woke up only an hour before you. If you had needed a doctor in the night, I would never have known."
"But you slept in the chair."
"It's a pretty comfortable chair. And I got mostly undressed and borrowed a second pair of your pajamas. I'll pay for the cleaning."
"Don't be stupid. Do you want the bathroom?"
"I've already used it. There was not time to ask permission. Of course, I'm a little grubby now. There's no change of linen for today, since I probably won't have a chance to stop off at home."
"People have been known not to change for a couple of days and live. Shouldn't you be at work? It's after 9.
"I've called the hotel and told them I'll be late. How about breakfast?"
"Sure. Anything you want that I've got." So she made an omelet with mushrooms and ham and bamboo shoots that she found a can of, and tomato sauce on top, and coffee, and pineapple juice to start with. It was great. It was mostly cloudy outside, which was great also. I didn't want the sun glaring at me, not till the throbbing died down a bit. She didn't seem to be in a hurry. She ate slowly, and so did I. She said,
"Do you remember anything you said last night after you went to bed?"
"Did I talk?" I was astonished.
"Yes, you wanted to, and I thought perhaps it was better to let you. If you grew too incoherent, I would know to call an ambulance."
"But I didn't then?"
"No, you switched from topic to topic rather suddenly, but within each group of remarks you made, you were rational."
I kept my eyes firmly fixed on the plate. "Did I say anything embarrassing?"
"If you mean did you discuss your sex life, or did you become blatantly aggressive toward myself, the answer is no and no. You showed enviable self-control."
"Just as well. What did I talk about?"
"A little bit of many things. Your writing, your publishers, your parents, the Middle East for a while."
"Good God, did I talk world affairs? What did I say?"
"I don't remember, really. You were most forceful, considering your condition, where Dr. Asimov was concerned."
I frowned a bit. My head had improved further now that I had some food in me. I seemed to remember that. What did I say?"
"You were rather bitter about the speed and extent of his writing, and you said that he was so secure in his intelligence that he never felt he had to bother showing it. And then you said, I'm not sure about this."
"Go on, anyway."
"I think you said that you could learn from that to be so tall that you wouldn't have to bother looking it." I said, "Maybe I mean I didn't have to go into the park just to show you how tall I was."
"That's what I thought, too. But you showed up pretty well, you know."
"Maybe. It wasn't coincidence, by the way. That guy was following us, as you had said. He would have followed me to my apartment and tried to get me there, but the park offered an opportunity too good to turn down."
"I guess I'll remember it all my life."
I rubbed my head gingerly. "It's just as well," I said, "as long as we're still alive. As far as I'm concerned, it's the final proof that Giles was murdered. If you're covering up a murder, you wouldn't hesitate to murder again. What other motive was there to follow me, me specifically, and attack me?"
"They'll try again, dear."
"I wouldn't be surprised," I said, feeling a little grisly inside at the thought, but trying not to show it. "I'll do my best to be careful. Did I talk about it, about the murder, last night?"
"Not very much, just toward the end, before you finally fell asleep, you know. Your voice had been growing softer, and the words were beginning to run together, and I was wondering if you were falling asleep or needing a doctor when you sat up and said, 'The pen, I shouldn't have done it,' or something like that. It wasn't very clear. You reached out with your hand, and I took it, and that seemed to relax you, and you fell asleep. At first I feared it might be a coma, but it looked for all the world like natural sleep, and I decided to take the chance."
"Good. I'm glad you did. So I talked about pens. I suppose I'll never get over having messed up my friend on his last night alive. And I went to sleep holding your hand, did I?"
"Yes, and then, after a while, I let go."
She went to the sink. I said, "Oh, don't wash the dishes. I'll take care of that when I get back." She washed them anyway. I said, "You know, I've never before spent a night with a girl alone in an apartment without going to bed with her." Silly expression, but I shied away from the various monosyllabic terms. She soaped her hands, rinsed them, and dried them on the dish towel. "And it's the first time I've ever spent an innocent night with a boy," she said calmly. "Now we both know what it feels like." "I don't," I said. "I was out like a light."
"I do," she said, "and I have spent far better nights. I will have to use your bathroom again."
I waited, remembering that I hadn't cleaned my teeth yet, or shaved, or done a few other things. So I went in when she came out, and it was when I was cleaning my teeth that the thought struck me for the second time, for I must have had it first the night before, when the blow on my head had unhinged me and let me think loosely enough, jarring me out of the same old circle in which my thoughts had burrowed for a day and a half. I started shouting, and with my mouth full of toothpaste, nothing much came out. Sarah must have been at the door again, waiting for me to fall down, because she was there beside me at once, saying in anxious tones, "What is it, Darius? What is it?" I had to rinse my mouth. Then I said, "What you heard me say last night about the pens. Did I say pens plural or pens singular?" She shook her head and held out her hands helplessly.
"I couldn't swear to it. Singular, I think."
And I said, "I shouldn't have done it?
I think so."
"Could I have said, 'It shouldn't have been there'?"
"It could be," she said doubtfully. "You were falling asleep. You weren't exactly enunciating clearly."
"It must be," I said. "Of course." Where earlier I had counted the flagstones and watched them in my mind form a path, now other flagstones were coming together quite suddenly to form a structure, one by one. I said, "Are you ready to go, Sarah?" She said, "Are you sure you want to wear that jacket with those pants?" I looked down at myself, and my head only ached bearably. "All right," I said, "I'll get my maroon one." I made sure I had all my pocket accessories, wallet, keys, credit cards, and so on, and then we were indeed ready to go. Sarah said,
"I think we'd better take a taxi. I don't want you overdoing, and besides, it looks like rain."
"Sure thing," I said, trying not to burble. "I want to get there as fast as I can. Something's beginning to make sense." It didn't take long to get a taxi. My location is a good one for that. And during the 5-minute ride, I said, "Can you do something for me?"
"Maybe. What?"
I was told the police took a complete inventory of Giles' possessions in the room, and that security would get a copy. Can you arrange to let me see that copy? She looked nonplussed.
"I'd have to ask Tony Marsogliani."
"Don't ask him. Have some underling send it to you. If Marsogliani thinks it's for me, he'll never let you see it." She said a little uneasily,
"I'll try."
We were at a red light a block from the hotel when I remembered and said, "Oh, thank you for helping me last night. It was a terrible imposition on you."
"You didn't force me to do it. I could have left."
"Well, thanks. It
it's all right."
I stood there looking at her, and words were inadequate, and I kissed her just as the taxi began to move again. There was no need to diminish the distance between our faces or estimate responses. I just put my arms about her as though it were a settled thing and kissed her. There was no attempt to push her buttons or turn her on, no attempt to use the skill anyone gets after years of practice to make it lead to something else. It was just a simple gesture of gratitude and affection, nothing more. And she returned it as though she were pleased, and nothing more. No, I'm lying. It was a hell of a lot more. It was a good kiss, and it lingered. In fact, it took the taxi driver's reluctant, "Hey, buddy, we're here," to pull me loose. I said, "We'd better go, or I'll forget what I've got to do." "Yes," she said, taking a quick breath as though to steady herself, "or I won't get that advertising campaign on the road." I paid off the taxi driver, doubling my usual tip for no other reason than that I was in love with the whole world, and we got out. It was just beginning to sprinkle.